Hello everyone, welcome, thank you for being here. I hope this video finds you in good health and secure. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. All right, today we read a letter, yet another letter, but this one written around 1280 when Nichiren was firmly in retirement at Mount Minobu in that reclusive kind of difficult to access area that he's described several times. This letter is to Shijo Kingo, one of his oft communicated disciples, one of his a very personal, I think, friendship with Shijo Kingo. As I've said before, and you probably remember, Shijo Kingo is a notable samurai of a large clan, ruling clan in Japan. Shijo Kingo was there at the Tatsunokuchi persecution. Shijo Kingo was there many times defending Nichiren's honor and his more than Nichiren, Nichiren's mission, right? His teachings of the Lotus Sutra. And Shijo Kingo has been a firm believer in or practitioner of Lotus Sutra Buddhism. So, we've read letters about his trials with his master, his lord, Emma, and we know Shijo Kingo is a good doctor, practitioner of medicine, as it was in the 13th century Japan, anyway. And I apologize to those of you who have allergies. You'll understand and you'll hear immediately that I'm a bit congested. But that doesn't stop us from practicing, does it? I don't know why this is important to me, but yesterday was my physical birthday. I say it that way because I also remember back in the 80s when I received my first Nichiren Mandala of Gohonzon, and that's a different sort of a birthday sometimes. Celebrated that way. But I'm realizing today, once again, occasionally I realize that I am a senior. I'm not sure what that means. Some days I feel far more senior than others, I will attest. Anyway, we're all young in Buddhism, aren't we? So, this Gosho is called The Place of the Cluster of Rewards. It's translated as blessings, but I refuse to use that word. So it's The Place of the Cluster of Rewards, much more in concert with the teachings and the flavor of Buddhism. Apologize again. If I do that too much, I'll stop and do this later. I have received the rice you sent from Tono Oka. I used it as an offering for the service of deceased ancestors in the seventh month of this year. Not only the priests or the monks who participated, but the assembly gathered at Eagle Peak, the Buddha and the deities must surely have accepted your offering and be rejoicing. It is difficult to express in words my appreciation for your unfailing sincerity and for your frequent visits. So, Nichiren once again making sure that people who send him offerings, gifts, if you will, of food and robes and support, is quick to point out always that although he, as a humble man, is very grateful for these supports, that they are directed toward the, again, support or the continued efforts that he, as a man, is making to solidify people's understanding, to assist in understanding, to spread understanding of the difficult to understand and appreciate law of the Lotus Sutra. And so all gifts are always seen as offerings to that mission. And in that mission, since it is a support of the Lotus Sutra, then those in attendance mentally are the Buddha and the various people talked about in the Lotus Sutra. So if that confuses you, that's why he speaks in this way, or he writes in this way. In any event, there can be no doubt about your enlightenment in your future, in your next life, but in your future. Above all, I remember how, in the eighth year of the Bunen era in 1271, when I incurred the wrath of the authorities and was about to be beheaded at Tatsunokuchi in the province of Sagami, you held on to the reins of my horse, accompanying my barefoot and shedding tears of grief. You were even prepared to give your life had I in fact been executed. In what lifetime could I possibly forget it? That's a very moving recounting in very brief terms. What this man faced, there was a whole retinue of people that marched him out to a place dedicated to his beheading. And Shijo Kingo, with Nichiren on his horse, probably his hands tied and so forth, a prisoner about to be beheaded, was marched out to this place. Shijo Kingo holding the reins of his horse, there to be present at his beheading. This great samurai, barefoot, probably by edict, crying at the prospect of this great teacher about to be executed. And as a samurai, no doubt, as a demonstration of his dignity and honor, following Nichiren's execution, would no doubt commit seppuku. He would kill himself. Imagine that kind of resolve, right? And that is the important point in this letter, as you will see, is Nichiren's commendation of this lay monk, a samurai, his dedication to the Lotus Sutra is quite notable. So, again, I apologize for my congestion. And that is not all, Nichiren continues. Exiled to the island of Sado, buried as I was beneath snows from the northern sea and exposed to winds from the northern peaks, it hardly seemed I would survive. Cast away even by my comrades of long standing, I thought that I could no more return to my birthplace than a stone on the bottom of the ocean, requiring the strength of 1,000 men to move it, could float to the surface. Ordinary person that I am, I naturally longed for the people of my native village. So once again, Nichiren never fails to mention that he's just a man, like you and I. He's just a human being, right? He has this incredible mission that he's set for himself and that he realizes is the only thing that gives his life value, and that is as a votary of the Lotus Sutra. For you, a lay person, pressed for time in your Lord's service to take confidence in the Lotus Sutra is itself very rare. Moreover, surmounting mountains and rivers and crossing the great blue sea, you came to visit me from afar. When he was in Sado, remember the little hut he had in Sado Island was like something you and I might encounter as youths in our father's or our grandfather's work shed, where you could see through the boards outside of the shed, right? This is what Nichiren was living in on Sado Island, in the snow. How could your resolve be inferior to that of the man who broke open his bones at the city of fragrances, reference to another parable, another story, or of the boy who threw away his body on the snow mountains, right? These are all expedient means teachings that are popular in the culture, so Shijo Kingo would certainly know these references, and you can look them up if you're interested. Again, for my part, though there was so little chance of rising again in the world, for some reason or other, I was pardoned in the spring of the 11th year of Bunei and was able to return to Kamakura. On pondering the meaning of these affairs, I believe I must now be freed from the karma of past offenses. So this is a reference to our Buddhist practice that sometimes when we incur negative events, if we incur them, keeping our resolve, because life is just a series of events that are manifest of the karmic energies in our lives, some of which we create for ourselves, some of which are just the karma with which we are instantiated in this human life, right? Why are people born into this life with different nationalities, different cultures, different financial fortune, different families of famine or excess, color of skin, advantages, disadvantages? Those are all manifestations of different aspects of energy. We can't begrudge those things. We all, no matter what we're born from, have equal opportunity to attain Buddhahood. It's the great equalizer, right? We all are essentially enlightened beings who don't know it. And this is the practice of Buddhism, to come to know it. This is why it's called Buddha wisdom, right? On pondering the meaning of these affairs, I believe I must now be freed from the karma of past offenses. I don't know if offenses is really the right word. Impediments would be more right. You get it? Once I was almost deprived of my life. That's an Akuchi, right? In the Kocho era, I was exiled to the province of Izu, another exile, and in the Bunei era to the island of Sado, because I remonstrated repeatedly with the authorities. I have encountered one persecution after another. Yet for that very reason, I have certainly already escaped the charge of, quote, betraying the Buddha's teachings. He set his goal so high that the resistance against it is greater. That's the nature of life, right? However, when I desired to leave the world for this mountain forest to pursue the way, the Bodhisattva way, the Buddha way, people voiced differing opinions. Nevertheless, for reasons I have carefully considered, I came to this mountain in this province where I have already passed 7 springs and autumns. So he's been living at Mount Minobu for 7 years at this point. Setting aside for now the question of my wisdom, in enduring hardships and in suffering injury as an ally of the Lotus Sutra, I surpass even the great teacher Tendai of China and excel even the great teacher Dengyo of Japan. He's not putting those teachers down. He's saying that the consequences he's endured for the sake of proselytizing the Lotus Sutra exceeds the hardships of these other great teachers. And the reason he points this out isn't to say, woe is me, look at me, you know, poor Lichiren, gone through so much. What he's doing is he's validating the words of Shakyamuni Buddha when he explained that in the latter day of the law, there would be someone to come forth to press this teaching and to proselytize it broadly across the world, Jambudvipa, and that that person would encounter great resistance because we are in the era of greed, anger, and stupidity, right? So what could be more resistance to enlightenment than an era that's based on avarice and manipulation, right? Animal behavior, the lower worlds, hell, hunger, and animality are everywhere today. This is because the time has made it so. There it is, exactly what I'm saying. If indeed I am a votary of the Lotus Sutra, then Shakyamuni, the lord of the teachings of Eagle Peak, the thus come one many treasures of the world of treasure purity, the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, who are Shakyamuni's emanations, the great Bodhisattvas of the essential teaching, the great Bodhisattvas of the theoretical teaching, Brahma, Chakra, and the dragon deities, and the ten demon daughters must all be present in this place. By instantiating his retirement at Mount Minobu, he's essentially saying that this is where I hunker down and manifest the Lotus Sutra. Quite simply, I've now spread the teachings far and wide. I've remonstrated against all the leadership to let them know why the country is in peril and what they should do about it, how they should practice Buddhism correctly. They've tried to kill me. They've exiled me for it. I've done all the work as the votary of the Lotus Sutra from the highest corrections, proselytizing of the correct teachings for the nation of Japan. And now I hunker down for my own enlightenment as I, from this perch in Mount Minobu, from this location, become the voice of the Lotus Sutra for Jambudvipa, from the pyramid's bottom up. I've gone to the top down, now I'm working from the bottom up, including myself, a humble man, right? So he's identifying his location, in other words, in Mount Minobu district, as the seat of his practice. Let's put it that way. Where there is water, fish dwell. Where there are woods, birds gather. On the mountain island of Peng Lai, there are many jewels, and on Mount Malaya, sandalwood trees grow. There is gold in the mountains from which the river Li Shui flows. Now this place, too, is like that. It is the place of the cluster of rewards, where the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas dwell. The rewards of the Lotus Sutra, which I have recited over these many years, must be vaster even than the sky. Thus, having come here frequently year after year, it is certain that within this lifetime, you will eradicate the karmic hindrances you have accumulated since the beginningless past. You should exert yourself all the more, Nichiren. This is an interesting statement in this last sentence. I have time. It is certain that within this lifetime, which we know this lifetime is when we express and experience our Buddha, you will eradicate the karmic hindrances you've accumulated since the beginningless past. What is that reference to? Again, I'll remind you, it's not because he had previous lifetimes. It's because when we're born, when we're instantiated into this samsaric reality, this human form, we are expressed from energies that are not related to time. This timelessness I keep referring to, this potential energy, that aspect of that potential, those aspects, myriad as they are, of that potential, that instantiate in the particular moment and conditions that are samsaric manifestation occurs within a womb, joining with an egg and a sperm, has its own inertia. And as we manifest our lifetime, this lifetime, we carry that inertia within new inertia and momentum that we accumulate in our experience as human beings. So we have karmic energy that we are responsible for creating with thought, word, or deed, or all three, in this life, but is also supported by, influenced by, and carries with it that initial surge. And so in the Lotus Sutra, we understand that although we can chant to eradicate or to modify, to clarify energies that we've created for ourselves in this life, what Nichiren is indicating here is that by our practice of the Lotus Sutra, we actually affect the energies that manifested us in the first place, that timeless potential energy. This is important because when we leave this life, when we are extinct as a human thinking mental being, and the mind dies, whatever causal energies we've manifested in this lifetime are what we disseminate into that potential pool. It's not us. It's not Sylvain energy. It's not Bob, Betty, Alice, whatever energy. Right? It's just energy. It's karmic potential. And so for this life and our experience in this life, it is essential for us to reach clarity, Buddha experience, in order to live this life well, because that's what Buddhism is about. But certainly, when we leave this life, we want to be in that Buddha mind state so that we leave this life with no remainder, no tales of negative energies that then enter into the pool of timeless energy potential and can feed or disturb manifestations of others, other instantiations. That's not future lifetimes. This confuses many, many, many people. This is quiescent, from quiescence to quiescence. Energy is energy. It isn't labeled. It isn't Bob energy. It isn't, right? So, whatever hindrances our karma may have instantiated when we were initially in the womb, whether that was being in a societally inferior position or a societally advantaged position, that's not necessarily good, quote unquote, karma. That just happens to be the set of energies you instantiated. It's not even you, right? Because the you part, the you and me part, is what we create in this lifetime alone. And it dies with us. The energy is something else. And only through our attainment of Buddhahood can we ensure that that energy is quiescent, a wonderfully clear expression of this amazing thing we call life. It's a hard thing to envisage in our minds, isn't it? But I will tell you, the only reason it's difficult to envisage is because samsara. When we attain enlightenment, when we awaken our minds, when we have an especially good shodai, when we really fuse with our mandala of Guhanzon, when we stop, when we ring the bell, and the sound of the bell lingers in the air, and we look about, and everything looks especially crisp and shiny and brand new, and awe strikes you, and before you start labeling it, that moment when everything is just excitement and awe is the only word I can come up with, that's when we know Buddha. That's when we know that experience. How can we hang on to that experience constantly? That is our goal. That is the Ichinin with which we chant. And Nichiren is discussing it here as not only something manifest in our minds, but that he's found a region, a place for those rewards of vision to reside for him and anyone who is his student, as you and I are. It's a mental location. Namo Myoho Rengekyo. All right. I hope you enjoyed that letter. And with great appreciation and respect for your practice, I humbly thank you for listening and your gifts, your support, and your practice. You constantly amaze me. So thank you for that. And with that, I will see you in the next one. Thank you so much. Stay healthy. Be kind. Bye for now. Hey, thank you for being here. Did you know there's a third way you can help support this channel? And it won't cost you a cent. Yep. If you are not able to be a patron on Patreon or use the PayPal me at .com at Sifu Sylvain, because you don't have the financial fortune to help support this channel right now. You, as I say, always support this channel by watching, but you can also help us grow so that maybe one day we can get over 10,000 subscribers and YouTube will grace us with monetization. It's not a lot, but if you can make sure you're subscribed and share a video, like a simple one, just go into the search criteria and type monk and you'll have a video that'll come up that's been up for years about what is a monk. You know, it's called monk, who, how, where, something like that. That might be a great introduction to somebody who doesn't understand what a monk is to begin with. It's a tool. Use this channel as a tool to help you with your bodhisattva practice, and share a video to somebody who you think, oh, I know somebody who'll benefit from watching this. And in that way, you can help us grow. And that's a really good way to help your practice along as well. So just wanted to drop that in on you in case that's something that you might find useful. Take care of yourself again, and I'll see you soon. Bye.